This ESPN Radio Daily Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. To get a free quote on car insurance, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive. This is the ESPN Radio Daily Podcast.
Joining us again in studio, as he will throughout the week as we get ready for next Thursday's NFL Draft. Can't wait. One of my favorite sporting events of the year, Todd McShay. It's on the board. Let's start it.
On the board with Todd McShay.
We do this every week, Todd McShay. We go on the board, AFC North today. And basically the exercise, Todd, is you're sitting in the front office. One of your superiors comes up to you and he says, two options. Who do we go with at that pick? And that's what we're going to do with you right now.
On the board.
Cleveland, number 7. Overall pick. They got 10 picks, 3 in the third, 3 in the fifth. I'm going to get a little creative here. Jimmy Clausen.
Who's as my superior.
Yes, as your superior. Me or Clausen. Or the top left tackle that you have graded. Now, it wouldn't make sense based on Joe Tomlinson and need, but is there a left tackle that's so good that you'd be like, man, you can't pass on him there at 7?
I would go with Russell Okung or Trent Williams.
And just put him at right tackle?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then you've solidified your offensive line. I know it's not the position of need, but the biggest bust in NFL history, typically, there's three reasons. One, you mess up on the character. Two, you mess up on the durability. Three, you reach for a need. And I think you'd be reaching for a need at 7 if you take Jimmy Clausen.
On the board.
Pittsburgh, number 18 overall pick. They have 11 picks, but 7 of those are 11 are the fifth round or lower.
Right.
Now, we've been hearing that a lot, like, hey, we get a million picks. Like the Pats, they have 12 picks. Well, 5 of them are in the 7th round.
Yeah, but 4 of them are in the first 2.
But the point I'm making is sometimes we can't look at the total picks. You've got to look at where they're at. Dez Bryant, wide receiver, Oklahoma State, or Jason Pierre-Paul, defensive end, South Florida at 18.
Jason Pierre-Paul. I think, and for most teams, I would have gone Dez Bryant. He's ranked higher on my board. I think that he has a chance to be a really good player, and I don't think he's a bad kid, but he comes with baggage. And I think right now with Pittsburgh, everything that organization has been through recently, they don't need a pass rusher, and they need a wide receiver, but I can't imagine the PR nightmare that it would be.
Wait a minute,
bringing Dez Bryant.
Well, okay, so I see what you're saying.
We're trying to send a message as an organization. We just shipped off Santonio Holmes. For a fifth rounder. So we sent him out of town. And now we're dealing with the Ben Roethlisberger situation, which we're not going to find out till after the draft what the punishment is. But they're going to, you know, from everything I hear, it's going to be at least 2-game suspension. They're trying to send message. This cannot happen in Pittsburgh. It sends a real bad message to the team if you go out and draft a player who, again, is not a bad guy, just has had no real structure and leadership in his life and has a tendency to go a different beat than he should. Not a good teammate, not a good fit for Pittsburgh.
But you do think that Pittsburgh could probably wait until a third round to draft a receiver after the home
stretch. Offensive
line. On the board.
Or offensive line. Cincinnati, the number 21 pick, they have 9 picks. They've got 2 third-rounders, 2 fourth-rounders. I'm going to try to get a little creative here. Say Joe Hayden, Florida corner. That would seem to be a little low for him at 21 if he's still on the board. Or let's see Marquise Pouncey, center from Florida.
Neither's as pressing a need as tight end or some of the other positions. You'd love to see a Jermaine Gresham still on the board. I don't think Joe Hayden will be there, but you never know. I mean, Houston sitting there at 20, they have a cornerback need. They could go with Kareem Jackson. They could go Kyle Wilson. If Hayden's there, I would take Hayden.
You're looking at what? Leon Hall, Jonathan Joseph, and Hayden?
Yeah. I mean, you have to take the best player out of those two. I mean, you're giving me two really bad options. Let's be honest, Mr. Superior. I mean, you know, you give me a center guard and a cornerback. And I just think Hayden, as much as I like Marquise Pouncey, Hayden's 6-7 spots ahead of him. And I would take the better value there.
Sometimes the challenge is just trying to make you think, Todd.
Oh, I hear you.
On the board.
Final selection from this division. On the board, Todd McShay, Ryan Russillo, Scott Van Pelt on ESPN Radio. Baltimore at number 25. They have 5 picks, but only 2 of them or even in the top 4 rounds. So you feel like
you really studied these picks today, huh?
Yeah, I'm breaking them down.
I like
beyond.
It.
If you guys need somebody to fill in on Saturday, let me know.
I hear you.
It almost makes you feel like they have to make it count a little bit more. And I know that sounds silly because every pick you feel like you got to make it count.
No, it's a good point. But also remember, their biggest need, and has been for a long time now, is wide receiver, and they addressed that with Anquan Boldin.
So here is what I'm throwing at you.
Gotcha.
Two teammates, Charles Brown, a tackle from USC, or on the defensive side, D end Everson Griffin.
I would go Everson Griffin. I think they could use another pass rusher. It's, again, cornerback is probably their top need. Tight end is a position I could see them addressing somewhat early on. But I think Everson Griffin brings the toughness, power as a pass rusher, and you drafted Paul Kruger a year ago. You can start rotating players around. I think Griffin's a little bit high at 25, but right in that ballpark. If you can get him to play to his level, he's a first half of the first round talent. And I think with all the leadership they have on the defensive side, that Griffin would really fit in well.
Talk to you next week, man.
You got it, buddy.
It's Todd McShay. You're going to see him all over the place, and he'll be sitting with the big boys this weekend. See, it's a good thing he walked out of here when I said that, because he wouldn't like that.
To compare car insurance rates from top insurers in one easy place, visit Progressive.com today. You could save hundreds. Now that's Progressive.
You know, Antoine Jamison's been in the league for a long time. This is the first time he's going to be in a huge playoff series. And really interesting, thoughtful veteran guy joining us in the herd on ESPN Radio. So, Antoine, NBA Sixth Man of the Year, two-time All-Star. You've played a long stretch without Shaq in Cleveland. Now he's set to return. Is that going to affect the offense for the Cavs?
I don't think it's going to affect it at all. You know, Shaq has done a great job as far as still being in pretty good game shape. He's been running every day. And he'll tell you, you know, he said, I've been in this situation numerous amount of times, so I know exactly what it takes in order to hold up my end of the bargain. And, you know, this team has played with them before. I played a couple of games with them before the injury. And, you know, you just got a group of guys who are really focusing in on the task at hand. And we know it's going to be a couple of roadblocks placed, you know, before us. But as long as we continue to communicate and play the right way, everything should be fine.
Antoine Jamison, two-time All-Star, Sixth Man of the Year in 2004, now a Cav. Now, you've been on some average teams. Now you're on a great team. Now you're going to the playoffs. The intensity for you, Antoine, I mean, this could be the most intense basketball you've ever been a part of.
It definitely is. You know, just the expectations here. It's not about going deep into the playoff. It's not about winning the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not about just making it to the playoff. It's about winning the championship here. And, you know, this is pretty much what I've been waiting for my whole career. It's great pressure. It's, you know, great pressure to be around. It's the type of pressure that, as a player, you dream about having. And for me to be where I've been in the past and now be in this situation is definitely a blessing and a great opportunity of a lifetime. And you just hope you can take advantage of that and everything comes out the way you plan to come out.
Does LeBron know or feel the immense pressure? I mean, it seems to me, I've never seen a player that feels like he's carrying a city. How does he deal with that?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, night in and night out, knowing that the opponent's game plan is to contain you, because you can't stop a game like a guy like LeBron. But once you see the amount of work he puts in, film work, the communication between him and the coaching staff, he knows that he has this city, his fan base, his organization, the whole media world just paying attention to his every move. You know, I'm 33 years old, and I don't think I can deal with it. And for him to be able to deal with that since day one of being in the league, you have to commend him for handling it the right way and being able to accept it. And not only that, but going out there and produce night in and night out.
Do you have more respect for him now that you play with him? I mean, what have you learned from the inside you didn't know about LeBron?
The one thing I learned from him, I mean, of course, seeing him from afar, going up against him, you know the talent that he has, but the thing that really surprised me is the amount of work. He has a great work ethic. This guy has a motor that I never seen before. And I've been with guys like Gilbert Arenas, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, and so forth. This guy brings it night in and night out every day, film session, shooter. I mean, very high basketball IQ. Every aspect about the game, the guy's unbelievable at. And that's one of the things that really stood out from day one. that I didn't know of and kind of surprised me a little bit. I know he worked, but his work ethic and being able to communicate with the players and the coaches, just pretty much every aspect about the game of basketball, he brings to the table, and he does a great job with it as well.
Bulls, Cavs, first round, Antoine Jamison talking LeBron James. Good luck to you and the Cavs. It's going to be a great run in the Eastern playoffs, I think, for the Cavs. Thanks, bud.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
First pick in the 1992 NBA draft, four-time NBA champion, 15-time NBA All-Star. A pleasure to welcome in Shaquille O'Neal to Mike and Mike in the Morning. Shaq, how are you this morning?
What's up, fellas?
Shaq, we were just before you came on, I was talking about, you know, the thumb injury that you had in games you missed. So certainly you've missed games before, but now as the playoffs get ready to go, what kind of game shape or how much can we expect to see you in each game as you work yourself back into game shape?
Well, I've been, working very hard to get back. So, you know, most of the time, you know, when you're playing these games, it is game shape plus adrenaline. So I know I'll be okay to at least go 20 plus.
20 plus right out of the bat, which will be good as you go up against the Bulls in the first round. You know, something else that was a big topic we had your coach on yesterday was LeBron James resting the last four games, and some people made a big deal out of that. You've made a lot of long playoff runs in your career, Shaq. What did you think of the decision to rest LeBron James the last week or so of the season?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the season, coach put things on the board of what he wanted us to do. You know, wanted us to have home court advantage throughout. Wanted us to have the best record. And he wanted to have LeBron play like the MVP. And he accomplished those things. And now that they're going into the postseason, you know, he's the strongest player in the league right now. And he gets banged up a lot. And he never really talks about his injuries, but he had a lot of little knick-knack injuries that, you know, could have went the other way, but he rested him up, he iced it, he worked out, and now he'll be ready.
You know, you mentioned he's one of the strongest players in the league, and you've played with a lot of greats in this league. So what separates him? Is strength one of the biggest differences, along with what else that maybe separates him from some of the greats?
I mean, you know, he's just so strong, you know, he's just so fast, and he's just so fit. You know, I think he's 260 or 4% body fat. He's just very, very fast, and, you know, you haven't really seen many players like that before.
Mike and Mike, the unmistakable voice of Shaquille O'Neal, who's involved in a terrific charity promotion, which we will get to in just a moment here. I know it's a tough question, but it's always fun. You've played and won championships with Kobe Bryant. You've played and won a championship with Dwayne Wade. How does LeBron James compare to those two?
Well, you know, any one of those names that you mentioned can be touted as the best player in the league, and I'm just, you know, fortunate enough to have played with three of the best young guards in the game. You know, it's really, you know, unfair to say this one does this one does that. They're all great players, and on any given night, any one of them can take over a game.
Now, how about this one then? Certainly when people talk about your career, and you're at the part of your career now where people can talk about you from a legacy perspective, you know, the great centers of all time, names like Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and others, where do you think you rank on the all-time list of the great big men in NBA history?
It doesn't really matter where I think I am. You know, I just know that when I came in, I wanted to do something special and, you know, won a lot of championships, and I think I've done that. You know, I'm, you know, 3,300 points behind Will Chamberlain, so hopefully I can get a little closer. Hopefully I can pass him, but, you know, depends on who you talk to. You know, sometimes my name is mentioned, sometimes my name is not mentioned, but as long as they remember the name, that'll be fine with me.
I have a feeling they're going to remember the name, and the name is Shaq. And let's go off the court for a minute. And the social media, that, like, we had David Stern on before, and hearing him talk about people tweeting on their Twitter is just funny to hear the 67-year-old man talk about that. But in light of the Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, when he was sitting at a bar and someone used a camera phone to record what he was saying, and I know you're involved in the latest technology as well, how do you treat it when you go out into public knowing that anything you say can be anywhere in just a matter of seconds?
You know, the world we live in is different. And, you know, a lot of people use social media for different reasons. I use it for a reason, where I try to inspire a person or make a person laugh. When it comes to doing interviews or, getting my point across, I still do it the traditional way. But if I want to enlighten somebody with a quote or something, or want to make somebody laugh with, a video or something, I use the social media. But, any picture can be cut and pasted into a certain way. And any quote can be cut and pasted into a certain way. So, it's just the world we live in now.
And you are so incredibly recognizable. Is it less fun? You're a guy who likes to go out there. You like people. You like talking to people. You like meeting people. Because you have to be more careful now, has it become less fun?
I wouldn't say you have to be more careful. You just have to be yourself. Like I said, anything can be cut and pasted and printed by someone. And he did this and he said that. But you just have to be yourself. I think, if you try to, be somebody else and then they put you as somebody else, and it gets all messed up. Everybody know I'm a funny, sarcastic guy.
Mike and Shaquille O'Neal, and anyone who saw a really interesting piece, beautifully written by your mother, actually, Shaq, a couple of weeks ago in Newsweek, is aware of what she's doing right now. And you have teamed up with Power Balance, the makers of this performance technology wristband that you wear and a lot of other players in the NBA wear. Lamar Odom, Brandon Jennings, and Derrick Rose are involved in this charitable effort where Power Balance is going to donate a bunch of money for every point scored throughout the playoffs. And the money that you raise is going to go to the Odessa Chambliss Quality of Life Fund, which honors the lifetime accomplishments of your mother. And for those who didn't see the piece in Newsweek, I'll confess I didn't know about it until I read that. Explain what that is, because it was really, really interesting to read.
Well, Odessa Chambliss Quality of Life Fund, my grandmother was a nurse, so my mother and I started this foundation, and basically we just raised money to help young females go to nursing schools. And I think over the years we've sent over 20 nurses to 4-year colleges of their choice.
And but the story that your mother wrote in Newsweek I thought was really interesting. Were you? What was your reaction when she was so open about it? She talked at very openly about what it was like for her when you were first born and all of that. What reaction did you get from people about that?
I mean, people, sort of like it, it's sort of like a inspirational book, especially for the single female raising a child. So, basically she's just telling a story, and hopefully when people read it, they're inspired by it.
It was a very nice story.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's funny to see a guy as big as you who still listens to his mom, right? Doesn't matter how big or famous you are. When mom says something, it's pretty clear Shaquille O'Neal listens.
Exactly.
Shaq, good luck in the playoffs as you go after your fifth ring. Thank you for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Great show, too, guys.
Thanks, Shaq.
Thank you very much. Shaquille O'Neal, again, Power Balance is the bracelet. They're going to donate $10 for every point scored by these players during the playoffs. Shaq, excuse me, Lamar Odom, Brandon Jennings, and Derrick Rose.
John Beeson in studio, Panthers linebacker. I'm Ryan Rasulo, Scott Van Pelt Show. You notice I'm working a tough middle button here. I'm very casual in here. I see
that. Same
yeah.
ass.
Yeah, but you're jacked, and you also have a tank top on underneath there. Let's look at your last season.
Okay.
I think, again, another great individual season for you. Mm-hmm. You're establishing yourself as one of the better linebackers in this league, but that's not why you're playing every Sunday. You're making a name, but you're trying to get wins. You were 5-8. You win the last three. You get to 8-8. What does your team need to do to be back in that mix for the playoffs?
I think we need to start fast. I mean, coming out 0-3, it's a real tough hole to climb out of. And, we had maybe two or three games there where we could have got back to 500 early, and we didn't win those, and it was games that we should have won.
What was the Jake Delhomme storyline like for you last year? Because you've been paid a ton of money. People were kind of waiting for him to screw up as opposed mm-hmm. to supporting him. And then once it went south, it was like immediately. And that had to be something tough to deal with, not only because of the play, but because of a guy that had been with that franchise for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he is the Carolina Panthers, man. We've been around with 15, 16 seasons now. And, once you do get paid the money, it's unfortunate that everyone's watching you. But you know what? Jake's a warrior, man. I mean, he's overcome so many things. He'll overcome this. He'll be great in Cleveland, I think. I'm betting on him to do well. And, the staff and the guys upstairs decided that they needed to go elsewhere. And, as a player, it's not my job to make that decision, but just show up and do my job.
But as a player, how do you and your teammates handle it? How do you guys talk about a big transaction like that?
it's more along the lines of, you know, man, you know, he threw this many picks, or, you know, he did this or did that. But we know that we go back and watch the film. So if you're an offensive guy, you might say, man, I could have done better on this route, or maybe, you know, blocking. I mean, there's so many things that go into it, even though as a quarterback, he takes the heat. So it's tough on us because we know that you can't blame everything on Jake DeLone.
How can film and spending all the time watching it hurt you as a player?
It makes you robotic instead of instinctive, or instead of playing what you see. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, put in the time, obviously, and know your opponent, but just know that you're going to get a wild card in there. And honestly, you're only going to see about 35, maybe 40% of what a team does, but they're going to have some Carolina Panther plays in there, some wrinkles in there, because if not, then they're too predictable, and it just makes it easy.
Now, John Beeson joins us in studio, Panthers linebacker. Next week is the draft. The draft went well for you. How much do you pay attention to it?
Not at all, just because...
you won't even watch it on Thursday?
Well, it's broken up in 3 days.
Is all repeats now.
I'd much rather spend a day watching it or 2 days watching it versus... you know, a 3 day, you know, stretching it out. I mean, I feel bad for those middle round guys who could go early as the third or late as the seventh.
Yeah, think about that. Now you have like 2 nights to go to bed.
Like, how do you have a draft party and like have people come down and they have to stay the weekend now?
Turn it into a festival.
Yeah.
A weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Get a band involved. Now, what would you tell young guys that are waiting around being like, I'm supposed to go in the first round? Because, I mean, there was a little bit of question. I mean, I'm not going to say because you're sitting here now, be like, I never thought you'd be outside the first round. But, I mean, there was still a little debate of where you would slide in the back
well,
picks.
Well, you know, for me, I knew that I was going to get the opportunity to play in the NFL. And that was the most important thing. I felt blessed, and I didn't stress about it because I knew going into it, just getting there, just the start of it. You know, a lot of guys come in and they're really content with, man, you know, dream come true. I'm here, but it's just the start.
John, the other thing I want to talk to you about is all the storylines that we've had with Ben Roethlisberger and that situation going on in Pittsburgh. I'm sure you've been asked about this a lot walking around all the different shows. But what do you think of this whole thing with his story and the possible suspension that'd be coming up, even though technically he hasn't been charged with any legal problems?
Well, you know, that's where it's tough because everyone's entitled to their day in court. And, you know, what's unfortunate for Ben is, you know, not comparing him to Michael Jackson at all, but, you know, Michael was never proven guilty in anything, but there's still a mass majority of people believe that it was true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where, you know, once something happens more than once, it becomes really an issue. And I think that's why the league is doing what they're doing in terms of talking suspension. But, you know, I believe in Ben. I hope everything works out for him. But it's going to be really tough, man. And I really hope they go based on, you know, what the verdict is and not, you know, anything to kind of appease people and make them feel better.
Do you answer it that way, though, because he's a fellow player in the Players Association? And let's face it, you guys aren't exactly thrilled that Roger Goodell gets to just say, you're suspended for 2 weeks, you're suspended for 4 weeks. Or do you say that based on the information and reading about this story?
I say it based on the information. You know, Goodell's come in and he's been tough on guys, but I think he's been fair in terms of being that way with everybody. You know, not really having favors, and I think it's a real tough job that he has to, you know, do. But at the end of the day, man, we're in a public eye, and there's a certain level of responsibility we have.
John Beeson of the Carolina Panthers. I want to stay with that because I think it's very easy for media guy, guy that listens to talk radio all day, to try to understand what your life is like without really knowing what it's like whatsoever.
Very true.
What is different? Give us the good and the bad. What is different about being a young guy with a lot of money and being an athlete and knowing that, you know, if you're a social guy, you're going to want to go out? What don't we understand about it?
If you think back when, you know, you're in elementary school and there's 30 kids and there's one kid in the class that really never gets noticed, and then there's that one kid that everyone wants to be like, the cool kid, the center of attention, the one teacher's always talking about or telling to be quiet. And, you know, people kind of want to be that guy. You know, you want to be in that spotlight. And that's part of the gig when you become a professional athlete, especially when you play as well as Ben has. But you know what? There's people that come after you. There's people that target you. And they know that if they say, you know, X, Y, and Z happened, that they can get media coverage or somebody to believe them. And regardless of what happens, whether it's true or not, it's going to be putting you in that negative light. And that's the part that people don't understand is really tough as an athlete, because it's so hard to get rid of it once someone's made the allegations. And it could be completely, utterly not even close to being true, but this person's got their time on TV, radio, whatever, and they're getting their pub from it. Meanwhile, you know, your name's getting worse and worse.
Having said that, we just put a percentage on it. Percentage that's positive versus what's negative in being the man and getting to have a ton of attention.
I think the positive much outweighs.
You don't have to look at those.
Well, they're all in here watching like we're on TV. No, the positive outweighed way more just because I think it's a way around it. The places you go, you know, who you associate with.
Right.
And how you lead your life.
You can make it the greatest thing ever.
You sure can.
You can. And then sure there'll be, you know, you get annoyed.
And then, there's guys who don't like it. If you're a good player, you're going to have to sign autographs. You're going to deal with people who, you know, are trying to get an autograph to sell it. Or you're going to deal with a little kid who wants it just because he admires you. And I think you have to pick and choose your moments. But at the end of the day, you signed up for it. If you don't want to deal with it, just be a bad player and you don't have to.
That's how I feel.
Yeah,
you can sign all the time.
You can come play.
My philosophy on autographs, whatever you guys need, I'll sign them all day.
That's it. Come play. Come play my Mike linebacker in Charlotte. You know what I mean? You'll take my job I can't deal with it.
That'll work out.
It comes with the territory.
Hey, thanks, man. Have fun today, all right?
I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, John Beese is going to be on Sports Nation 4:30 Eastern Time, correct? On ESPN2 once one of our 12 soccer games is over. All right, good stuff.
Now, FIFA, baby, FIFA.
It's a great video game. I just can't move it up to the professional level. I just like winning 5-0 with Toddy and the rest of those
people. Log on to ESPN.com/podcenter or ESPNradio.com for more great podcasts.